So a Panthers pre-game podcast on Panthers Radio in association with Cyanomics, looking ahead to the weekend, a Scotland road trip for the Panthers, and we'll reflect on the weekend just gone and, of course, any other news. Joined, as ever, on the podcast by commentator and media man Jono Bullard and the former Panthers netminder and the summariser, of course, on the Panthers commentaries, Dan Green. Evening to you both, gents.
Evening.
Evening.
Grumpy Dan, Spurs out of the Champions League. We'll gloss over that, but there you go. Thanks for Thanks for plucking up the courage and putting a smile on your face. And come on, let's talk about your more beloved thing, more beloved than Spurs, the Nottingham Panthers. Let's start with Sunday, then we'll touch on Saturday. But Jono, you got to tweet the game, and that was a gutsy win to score late on the 6-on-5 play. Some fans don't like putting netminders, but that on that occasion showed exactly why you do it. It may not percentage-wise come off very often, but the gamble's worth taking. And of course, you get the momentum, and Panthers went on to win in penalty shots. It may not have been the win at home in front of the adoring crowd, which we'll touch on in a minute, but it was a gutsy win, wasn't it, Jono?
Really gutsy win, yeah. I thought Panthers played well, and it was a good response after the performance on Saturday night, I felt, and some very good goals. Tanner Sorensen scoring for the first time in a while. It was good to see him get on the score sheet with a lovely finish. Adam Brady, second game back after his return, with a lovely turn and finish for that very, very late goal as well. So, yeah, there was a lot of good things on Sunday night that I really liked. Guildford were their usual self. They were quick. They were fast around the net. But Alex Dabow had a really, really good game as well. His first start in a while. And, he really grasped the nettle and took his chance well and played excellently.
Yeah, Greener, we mentioned the netminders. We always get you to talk about this. I wondered when Corey made the switch on Saturday whether that was more for getting Alex ready. He probably by that time, I don't know, I've not asked him, but he may have thought, you know, on Saturday, I'm going to start Dubes tomorrow. I want to give him a bit of ice time. He's been cold for a while, not had some ice time for ages. So I don't know what you guys thought. I'll touch on that one first, Greener. You know, that late run for him rolled over obviously into Sunday, and as Jono said, he put in a good performance.
Yeah, it was a really good move by Corey. I mean, I remember us saying on commentary, my thinking at the time was that it was the opposite, that he knew Jones would be playing the next day.
Oh, really?
The game was over against Sheffield. Give him 10, 12 minutes rest and then he can go again the next day. But obviously it was kind of the similar thing, but for a different reason. It was the other way where, exactly like you said, he was getting Dubes, you know, 10 minutes, getting the feel of it, so he was good for the next day. I thought it was going to be for a different reason, but I think either way, you know, it kind of made sense. You know, that game was kind of over by the time Dubes came in, and, you know, Corey's really good at that, you know, getting a goalie in, giving him a bit of ice time, and then, yeah, as Jono said, it obviously paid off with Alex playing very well the next day.
Yeah, it's interesting that we both thought different things, but you can actually argue it both ways. Now thinking about it, you can take your point that he may have wanted just to give Jones that extra rest by starting him on Sunday. But as it was, we went with that, you know, putting Dubes in and giving him a bit of ice time. We're in an interesting situation now, aren't we, Jono? Because, you know, Alex Dabow was the starting netminder for quite a while, you know, and until the switch. He's now got to battered his way back at the moment. Corey Nielsen's made it clear that Peyton Jones is his number one. But Alex Dabow showed Corey Nielsen on Sunday that might not be a straightforward answer down the stretch and into the playoffs.
No, not at all. And he's probably given Corey a bit of a headache there with him playing so well against a genuine title challenger in Guildford. And I wouldn't be surprised if this weekend the games were split between Jones and Dabow, Fife and Dundee. Then again, I could be completely wrong and one of them will get both starts. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was split between the two of them. So, yeah, it's given Corey an interesting quandary, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And a good one to have coming into this stretch, especially with playoffs around the corner. Greener, on to Saturday, and sadly, same old story. Jono and I were chatting before we went on air. I don't want to say these stats, but it's one win for Panthers this season against the Steelers. 10 wins for the Steelers if you count League Cup and playoffs. You know, we talked about Nottingham having Cardiff's number right at the moment. You know, no matter what Panthers do, the Steelers have got Panthers' number. I mean, Panthers started well. They were in the game, I thought, for the early parts of the game. But they, I don't know, Green, they just don't seem to be able to match Steelers' speed and transition. Whenever Steelers come, I'm really impressed with that.
Yeah, I think the Panthers played well for chunks of that game. I think, especially that first period, you know, bar the last couple of minutes when obviously Steelers got those goals. It was, I think with the Steelers, they've always, against us, they've always just managed to get big goals at big times. And it's just one of those where, you know, we'll get a couple of chances, but then they'll get a couple and they'll score at least one of them. It's just they seem to capitalise on those. You know, they've got the Champagne, Latau, Dowds, where they've just got such quality. And, you know, I think we can match them in 80% of the areas, you know, goaltending, special teams, you know, for the most part. But I just think they've got that, maybe that little bit more quality where, you know, if they make a mistake, we maybe let them off the hook. But if we make any sort of mistake, they punish us every time. And, you know, I think what you're saying about the sort of Cardiff hoodoo with us, well, I just think that's more of a thing where I don't think we're a lot better than Cardiff, but for whatever reason, they just really struggle against us. So I just think with Sheffield, they've just got that little bit more quality, and they're a bit more older and experienced. And just in those key moments, they either get that big save or they get that big goal, and they just always seem to kind of find a way. So yeah, disappointing.
You hit the nail on the head, actually, Greener. I think, you know, obviously there is you can tell there's a gulf between the teams. It may be hard to accept for some people, but the league table doesn't lie. There's a massive gulf between the two teams. But you're also right as well in the matchups between the two sides. And, you know, I've spoken to people from a Sheffield persuasion, and they've talked about how we've given them a game. It's not like we've been blown away by them, like we might have been, let's say, by the Blaze and by Fife on occasions, Manchester on occasions this season. We've never really been blown away. But Greener, I think you make the biggest, you know, solid point there of in those clutch moments, Sheffield have absolutely outdone the Panthers. And that's exactly why that the results have got in their favour so far this season. Jono, you spoke with Jack Hopkins this week, and he came into some good praise from Corey Nielsen. And I can understand why. I mean, you know, you'll probably wish he had that chance again in front of the net where he kind of had two digs at the puck. Later, he did a great backhand flip to set up, I think, David Levin for a chance. They were two standout moments. So certainly, Hopkins this weekend got more ice time than perhaps he had in recent weeks. And although by his own admission, he's struggling, he wants to get a goal, he was probably being a bit modest there. I did feel he contributed in other ways. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. He was one of the very few positives from Saturday night. He played very well. And the thing you've got to think about, he's still only a young lad. He's only 18 years old still. Yeah, I think a lot of people forget that. But he's been put in a situation where he's being put on different lines with different line mates each time. And he's responding to that each time. He's getting chances. He's battling. He's, like you say, he had that lovely setup for David Levin. He had a couple of digs where I think he'll probably feel that he should have done better, because I know he sets very high standards for himself, especially when it comes to goal scoring. And it was very interesting when I spoke to him that, you know, I sort of asked him straight out, you know, how do you feel about being singled out by the head coach for your contribution? And he was very critical of himself, I felt, because, and he says it's frustrating because I really want to score a goal and make that contribution. And I think for someone like Jack, who has scored goals all throughout his junior career, coming into the pro ranks here and last season as well for Telford in the National League, I think he really wants to get that goal. And I think it's the case of if he gets one, he'll probably go on to score quite a few in the remainder of the season.
Yeah, just one more thing, and it's down to depth, and just looking at the lineups from Saturday, Greener, you know, Panthers had a few missing bodies for various reasons, but you know, on the fourth line on this game sheet, Archie Hazeldine as the seventh D, and Jack Hopkins as the tenth forward, and Sheffield have Pacioulay, McNally, Phillips. That's Jonathan variety, and Evan Mosey listed on their fourth line. Now, no disrespect to Archie and Jack. We've sung Archie's praises all season here on this podcast, and likewise now with Jack. But they're two 18-year-olds at the beginning of their careers. Those names I've just mentioned, Greener, you can see the difference in depth there just in, you know, in one look at this Elite League team sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously, like you said, we did have a couple of players missing, so maybe that would have looked a little bit stronger if we had a full strength lineup. But I think, you know, Corey maybe mentioned it in his post-game interview, exactly that. You know, I think they ended up having, you know, McNally, who obviously, you know, Italian international, Jonathan Phillips, you know, over 100 games for Great Britain, and Evan Mosey, you know, probably one of the... maybe not one of the best imports in the league, but in the last few years, you know, his speed and skill and, you know, definitely a top import in this league. So, yeah, it's just that depth. You know, like I say, you can obviously talk about the injuries or, you know, the guys out of the lineup for us. But, yeah, I think it's just that. They've got that quality. You know, you kind of, even if you compare British players just on, I know we've got some really good young players, but, you know, just on international caps, you know, between Jonna, Dowdy, Davy Phillips, you know, that's probably 250 caps easily just between those three. Then you got Whistle, Sam Jones. So, yeah, I think, you know, at this moment, they're, you know, especially down the lineup, third, fourth lines, they can outman us a little bit. But, yeah, that's just obviously up to us to try and match them where we can.
Okay, on to the weekend, Greener, and I go back to you. It's a double trip to Scotland. In the past, Panthers have done 3-3, but none of that this season. It's Fife on Saturday and Dundee on Sunday. I know it's only one night away, and it's not that far, relatively speaking, I guess. But do you think the boys, and I touched on this with Adam Brady, and he said, yeah, we're looking forward to it. Do you think the boys just get a little bit excited about a road trip? Just something different, a bit of time together, time away from the norm. Do you think that's sometimes good for a team?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always, whether it's Belfast or Scotland, you know, we'd always, you know, look forward to just kind of getting away, just have a sort of total hockey weekend, being with the boys. And like you said, it used to be 3-3s or, you know, so it was even longer. But yeah, you know, you kind of obviously go up on the Saturday, but be a tough game in Fife. But yeah, you know, it's kind of nice being away, just being together. Then, you know, on the Sunday, not really too much of a travel to Dundee. But yeah, I think these weekends can, you know, really kind of bring teams closer. And, you know, obviously we've got quite a close group and we've had some good results lately. And yeah, I think it'll just be good to go away, you know, get a few games on the road in and then come back. So yeah, it should be fun.
Don't know about you, Jono. I know you're going. I don't know whether it's a family weekend or a boys weekend, but are you looking forward to your Scotland trip?
Certainly am. Edinburgh on Friday night, so not sure what state I'll be in on Saturday, but I'll be there. Yes, I'm looking forward to it because obviously I booked it all before I got the job here at the Panthers. So I'm actually going as a fan. Yeah, but I booked it as the fixtures came out to get the cheaper deals on the hotels, of course. So it's yes, looking forward to being a fan for a weekend. It's going to be great.
And Fife, I mean, I love my trips to Fife, but managed to go with Premier Sports a couple of times, three or four times, always get beautifully looked after there. I remember once going with Radio Nottingham, technically as a fan, because I think I just help supply some information for Radio Nottingham, but friends and family went, I think, one of those three in 3 days. It's just, you know, I don't know about you, Jono, but it's probably the closest rink maybe that we were, you know, currently left that reminds me of the old Ice Stadium.
Funny enough, I can't remember who I was talking to. You're talking to one of my mates today, actually, and I said exactly the same thing to him, and it was that it is the... it's the last rink that reminds me of the old Ice Stadium. Atmosphere very similar, old lot of history there. You know, it's probably my favourite rink in the Elite League
that's
left now after Hull's gone, because I loved Hull as well. So, yes, I'm very much looking forward to going to the Old Barn on Saturday night.
Didn't love the chip. I mean, people talk about Hull. I couldn't stand the chip spice. I must have been the only one, because that's all I ever hear about Hull and the chip.
It was all right. I didn't understand the sort of hullabaloo about it.
Was it spice, as in a spicy topping? Is that what it was?
It was just like a load of herbs and spices, I think, that just went over top. Probably whole secret 11 herbs and spices. It's like, I don't know if they had a kernel back there.
Yeah, Hull was a good trip, not too far. It was always a good little trip to Hull, actually. Miss going to that place.
I mean, I know someone who still goes, who goes once a year to watch them in the National League, because they love the trips to Hull. Wow. So much so they go and watch the Seahawks as they are now. I think they went when they were playing the Lions,
right,
a couple of seasons ago. So yeah. It still has that allure.
Yeah, yeah. Greener, going back to Fife, have you ever had any fun encounters in Fife? They very knowledgeable lot in Fife, but not afraid to tell you their feelings, are they?
No, yeah, it was always quite a intimidating place, I guess. They had the netting for a long time. Obviously, the fans are really close to you. So it was always a very, like, fast and furious game. The benches are quite small. If you're on the bench, the fans are, like, right over you. We had the infamous Chernomaz stick break. That was a good one. I can't really remember. I remember when... the first year I wasn't playing, but when I was still going to every game, Jan Sove got kicked out of a game there. He hit someone from behind and he got kicked out, and he came and sat with me in the crowd, and like some guys came up and like tried to fight him in the crowd because they knew who he was and whatever. It was insane. But yeah, no, it's always it's always fun. It's always an exciting place. Obviously a little bit, you know, a bit smaller ice, a bit more compact. It's, you know, even if you're a sort of better team, you know, higher end, more skilled team, just, you know, we've seen them turn over lots of teams up there. Obviously, you know, Sheffield recently in the cup, and yeah, it's always a really tough place to go. So yeah, it should be a tough game.
It's a cold one.
Go on. No, I was just saying. Yeah, I remember the season we won the league in 2013. It was towards the end of that season. We had a triple header in Scotland. And we're playing in Fife on the Saturday night. And I remember David Lynn getting a penalty right at the end of the game. And I think it was 9-2 up at the time. And he's getting a bit of jip from the Fife fans behind him. And he turns around and he says, as soon as I get out of this penalty box, I'm going to go up and score a goal. And of course he did. And he sort of skates back to this sort of penalty box area and just gives it the, oh, well, I told you. To be fair to the fans there, they just all gave a round of applause. Brilliant.
It's what stood him out to be the character he was. I was just going to say, it's a cold rink, Fife, not as cold as Edinburgh, but there is a heater, there is a radiator behind definitely the away team bench, which always used to help if you were ringside reporting. How crucial, Greener, is it for Panthers to get some momentum? I feel like we've talked about this so many times this season, but Adam Brady touched on it. I mean, you know, the run at the moment, you know, Panthers have won three of the last four, you know, so you can't argue with that. I think it's at that stage of the season where they've got to get in the right mindset, because they can't go in cold to playoffs, can they?
Yeah, I think the momentum thing's huge. Obviously, you know, coming off a good, you know, good win Sunday, I think you can just see the lift it gives everybody. And yeah, I think if we kind of, you know, limp into the playoffs, kind of win one, lose one, you know, your tail's a little bit down and you're kind of waiting for the inevitable. But, you know, I think, you know, obviously Corey's the playoff and the trophy specialist. And, you know, if you look at our fixtures towards the last couple of weeks, they're very favourable for us. And I think if we can go in having strung, you know, it sounds crazy, but if we can go in, you know, stringing 2, 3, 4 wins together, the rest of the season almost just goes out the window. It's a brand new season. Everybody starts from scratch. And, you know, teams that go in on form will probably be the teams that make it to the final four. So I think, you know, even though it's, you know, obviously not in the league race, haven't won the cup. I think, you know, from now on, or in maybe a couple of weeks, I think all of that just goes out the window and it's just a brand new season. So we can almost start afresh and, you know, get a few wins and move into the playoffs and just kind of see what happens.
Crazy. There's only four home games left. I say a week on Tuesday, actually, this next Tuesday coming next week. Coventry Blaze, 14th of March. Then the 19th of March, Manchester Storm at home. A few days rest. And it's Dundee Stars, shall I say, on the 22nd of March. And the season ends, home game on the 1st of April. Panthers against Manchester Storm. Another trip to Scotland in between times. Trip to Sheffield, trip to Coventry. Manchester. So, just a handful of games left in the season. Jono, just we'll touch on finally. We talked a lot about Fife, but what sort of threat do you think Dundee will pose? That they're probably done for the playoffs, although they've certainly got the games in hand to catch up with Glasgow. Mm. But they got to win them. But they are, as we stand, 8 points behind with six games in hand, but time is running out. You know, what do you expect from Dundee on Sunday?
I think it's both teams, both Fife and Dundee, because they're both fighting for their playoff lives. So they're both going to be pretty desperate. And looking at the standings now, Fife in ninth, Dundee 10th. Dundee have to win that game, I think. So they're going to pose a threat. They got a very good point in Cardiff, actually, at the weekend. And I think took them to overtime with a 4-4 draw. So they're going to be no pushovers. We saw a couple of weeks ago when they came to the NIC that they're certainly no pushovers. So it's going to be a tough game. But I think from the Panthers' point of view, though, and it was like you was mentioning before, with what, three wins out of four. If we can win both games this weekend and take that to five out of six, that's really good form. Going into the rest of the season. And also, if my maths is correct, I think if we do get a 4-point weekend this weekend, we have definitely qualified for the final eight of the playoffs. So that's another goal achieved. Not where we wanted to be, I fully accept that, but we'll have at least qualified for the playoffs. So we confirm to be there. And I think that'll be another big step if we can manage that.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much, guys, for giving up your time. Greener, especially after the heartache of being a Spurs fan.
Yeah, that's actually perked me up. That's kind of got me over it. So,
which hurt more, being knocked out the cup tonight or being knocked out the cup by who did you lose in the FA Cup to?
Sheffield United. Oh, that's a tough one.
Or Nottingham Forest in the League Cup. Which one hurt?
Oh, no, that one I didn't care about. But we are playing them Saturday, so hopefully we'll put a vicious beating on them. But we probably won't. I don't know what hurt more. Probably tonight, to be honest, because out the Champions League's a tough one.
No trophy again this season for Tom.
No, that's it. Yeah, officially now, no trophy. I mean, we obviously weren't going to win the Champions League, but yeah, officially now, no trophy. Unless you get a trophy for fourth place.
Well, quite, and maybe compounded up even more that Arsenal might win the Premier League.
That doesn't really faze me. I'm not an Arsenal hater. I don't know. I've never been like that. It doesn't matter to me who wins it. We're not going to win it, so it doesn't really matter to me. It'll be City or Arsenal probably, won't it? So I'd probably rather City won it, but yeah, I don't really have any hate towards Arsenal.
Yeah. There you go, Greener. We'll let you go and cry into your supper. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll speak to you again post-game now, won't it? On Tuesday, I would think, after the game against the Coventry Blaze. Tickets still available. Usual places online on the website, of course. The links from panthers.co.uk. Be a good game, Blaze, of one tonight in Guildford here as we speak. That's a massive win for Coventry and a massive dent for the Flames in their title hopes. Really means it's bunching up now in the race for the Elite League title. But thanks for joining us on the Panthers pregame podcast in association with Cyanomics on Panthers Radio. We'll speak to you soon.